Turn to Matthew 1, 18. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Let me turn to the right verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now let's turn over to Luke 2, 1 through 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Serenius the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And back to Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country, another way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we assemble here today, dear Lord, we thank you for the praise and the glory, dear Lord, that you've gave us the time to come together one more time, dear Lord, to study your word and enjoy each other's company, dear Lord, and long for your return. Lord, keep us encouraged when we go through these trying times that we deal with as families, dear Lord. When we go through these trying times of sickness, dear Lord. We pray for our nation, dear Lord, as it seems like there's been an increase in COVID cases across the nation, dear Lord. Keep our medical staff encouraged as they try to take care of us, and we give you the praise and the glory for allowing them to have the skills, dear Lord, to take care of us, dear Lord. Lord, forgive us when we come up short and fail you, dear Lord. And in the next few days, dear Lord, help us to remain focused on the real reason that we worship Christmas, dear Lord, for the birth of our Savior who paid the sins of all of us on the cross that we could all be saved. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's take a look at some of these verses that we just covered, some of the commentary. First of all, verse 18 told us that now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about what Joseph had to go to, the dilemma they faced. First of all, the Gospel of Matthew was written with a Jewish audience in mind. This is why Matthew began by stating that Christ was the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew 1:18 begins the actual narrative by stating, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That is, explaining how it came about. Whether dealing with Matthew or Luke, the only gospels relating to the birth of Christ, we are still left with many questions concerning a number of details. Both accounts supply information not mentioned by the other. In popular thinking, reflected in our plays or our programs, we have usually merged events that did not occur at the same time. That may not be a serious error, but it may skew our view of what actually happened. That Mary was espoused to Joseph means that they were engaged. Engagement meant much more in biblical times than it does today. It was a legal contract that could not be broken except through a divorce proceeding that cited a justifiable reason for abrogating the contract. Since many marriages were arranged by families, this had ramifications beyond what the couple might think about in their future union. Since nothing is stated about the age of either Joseph or Mary, it is speculation to suggest how old they were. But if their engagement was typical, Mary would have been a teenager and Joseph somewhat older. Before they came together means before they were formally married or had intimate sexual relationship. When Mary was found to be expecting, Joseph knew that the child was not his. But the child in Mary's womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Since no details are given as to how this actually occurred, we would be remiss in trying to explain something beyond human comprehension. And when we witness to people, they may ask us that. And we would be remiss to try to explain it. We know that God, He has miraculous ways of doing things. When Gabriel appeared to Mary, she likewise questioned how it would come about. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 19 tells us, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This was a heartbreaking decision for Joseph. Since a young couple was espoused to each other, Joseph could be rightly referred to as Mary's husband. Described as a just or righteous man, Joseph wanted to do the right thing. This tells us that he was a law-abiding man. Although the penalty for adultery was death, the usual course of action by New Testament times was to divorce a woman under such circumstances. Being the kind of man he was, Joseph was not willing to make her a public example. That is, shame her openly by declaring that she was pregnant with another man's child. Hence, he was minded to put her away privately. That is, break the engagement quietly in the presence of just two witnesses. While this might spare Mary public humiliation, it would certainly increase speculation and gossip. Mary would be accused of infidelity once her pregnancy became known, or Joseph might have been accused of impregnating Mary and then abandoning her. Neither option was a desirable choice. To his credit, though, Joseph wanted to do the right thing. Verse 20 told us, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Not being a rash man, Joseph was thinking through his options. But before he could decide what to do, an angel appeared to him in a dream. The angel reassured Joseph that the child in Mary's womb was divinely conceived and told him not to be afraid to marry his bride. Verse 24 suggests that the couple moved up the wedding date and were married as soon as possible. As Mary's pregnancy progressed and became visible, the couple may have had to endure whisperings and innuendo. But they both had clear consciences and could trust God through any difficulties. Following God's will in our lives may sometimes put us in positions that other people, not having access to all the facts, might misunderstand or deliberately misconstrue. At such times, we too can entrust ourselves to God's protection and provision. Verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Only at this point, in the angelic message, was Joseph informed that the child in Mary's womb was a boy. Moreover, he was given specific instructions concerning the name to be given. In the biblical world, names are very significant, often related to a particular event or symbolizing something related to the future of the child. The earthly name given to the Son of God revealed both his identity and his mission. The Greek-derived name Jesus is equivalent to the Hebrew-based name Joshua. It can be translated as "the Lord save" or "the Lord is our Savior." Since the name of a person stands for the person, the name Jesus has great significance throughout the New Testament. As John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The gospel is to be preached in his name among all nations. When addressing the Jewish Sanhedrin, Peter declared, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." The Apostle Paul reminded believers that God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. While Christ did many things on earth, not the least of which was healing the sick and teaching the word of God, his primary mission was to be our Savior. As the angel said, "He shall save his people from their sins." This is the greatest need of humanity. In the context of Matthew 1:21, his people is probably a reference to the Jewish people, the immediate heirs of the promises made to Abraham and David. But it could also be referenced to all those God has chosen as his own. The fact that God chooses should not be taken to mean that we are passive pawns in his plan. We are called upon to seek the Lord. Repent of our sins and call upon the Lord for salvation. The church's responsibility is to proclaim the message to the world so that they can hear the word of the gospel and believe. Christ came to save us from our sins. This reminds us that we cannot save ourselves. Apart from Jesus Christ, we are hopelessly lost. The Son of God came into the world, but that alone did not accomplish salvation. He would, in fact, have to go to the cross and die for our sins, thus providing propitiation for our sins. And not our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. The whole world is not automatically saved, however, as it is necessary to receive Christ by faith. The next two verses, verses 22 and 23, tell us, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." While all four Gospels mention various prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Christ, Matthew went beyond the other evangelists in emphasizing this. His Jewish audience would have particularly wanted to be sure that the one presumed to be the long-awaited deliverer actually fulfilled the many prophecies that were written about him. The prophets knew that the messages they passed along were not their own. Instead, they were spoken of the Lord by the prophet, an introductory formula used twice by Matthew. These holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Those who teach and preach today must be careful to deliver God's word, not their own opinions and ideas. Quoting from Isaiah 7:14, Matthew makes it clear that the events he describes were in complete harmony with what had been previously prophesied. Since the Messiah was to be both fully God and fully man, it was necessary that he be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. His human nature and the Holy Spirit, his divine nature. While this remains a mystery in many ways, it is nevertheless the teaching of God's word and is the historic Orthodox view of Christianity. Both in ancient times as well as throughout history, there have been those who have failed to keep in balance the humanity and the divinity of Christ, thus leading to heresy. Outside of Matthew 1:23, Jesus is not referred to as Emmanuel anywhere else in the New Testament. Nevertheless, this name aptly describes his identity, namely, God with us. As the eternal Word, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. For the purpose of procuring our redemption, perhaps the name Emmanuel might be better understood as a title or as a role that he performed. Verse 24 tells us, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." As soon as he awoke, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. It was an example of unhesitating obedience to the command of the divine messenger. As far as Joseph is concerned, much is revealed in this text about his character. Both Joseph and Mary had to be very godly people to have been chosen for their respective roles. God the Father would not have entrusted the care of his son to just any couple. Already described as a just man, Joseph must have also been a man of compassion. Faced with what on the surface appeared to be a betrayal of trust, Joseph had great concern for Mary. Otherwise, he would have exposed her as an immoral woman and exonerated himself publicly for casting her aside. That Joseph took Mary to be his wife means that they were married, probably as soon as possible. While their marriage customs were somewhat different in the time of Christ than today, there were some similarities. Then as now, it was a rite of passage that was celebrated publicly in the presence of friends and family. While widely practiced today, the custom of living together without legal marriage is neither right nor useful. Enjoying the privilege of marriage without its responsibilities places such relationships in serious jeopardy. Among those who do marry, the rate of divorce among those having lived together is greater than those who waited until marriage. Joseph and Mary provide a proper biblical role model both for those who are dating and those who are engaged to be married. Verse 25 tells us, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." While legally married at this point, Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Simply stated, Joseph did not have any sexual relations with Mary until after Jesus was born. While some have taught the perpetual virginity of Mary, namely, that she remained a virgin forever, this is not taught in the New Testament. The word till implies that after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary entered into a normal conjugal relationship. The fact that Jesus had brothers and sisters also indicates a normal family life. Some have suggested that these brothers and sisters were Joseph's children from a former marriage or even Jesus' cousins. There is nothing in Scripture to indicate this, however. In keeping with his father's responsibility to name his child, Joseph bestowed the name Jesus. Previously, Mary too had been told by Gabriel that the child was to be named Jesus. There was no question, discussion, or disagreement concerning the name of this special child. All right. Matthew 2, 1 and 2 tells us, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." We do not have a precise date for the birth of Jesus, other than being born in the days of Herod the king and during the reign of Caesar Augustus. We have few clues concerning these details. Since Herod died in 4 BC, Jesus was born before that. It is also a known fact that our current calendar is off by a few years. It was not until 500 years after Christ that an attempt was made to create a calendar beginning with his birth. Dionysius Exiguus, a Scythian monk living in Rome, made an error in his calculations. But what is important is not the date of Jesus' arrival, but the fact that he came. From Nazareth in Galilee, Joseph and Mary made their way south to Bethlehem, a journey of at least 3 days. Since they were descendants of David, they traveled to the ancestral home of Israel's greatest king to be enrolled for Roman taxation purposes. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. And while they were still there, the wise men arrived. As to the identity of these wise men, we are confronted with more questions. The term that is translated wise men in Matthew 2:1 is the Greek magoi, which translated magi. At one time, this was used as a priestly class of Persian astrologers. By the first century, magos was used more broadly, even rendered a sorcerer. Since the wise men came from the east, We can assume that the territory once occupied by the ancient Babylonian and Persian empires is meant. Though Gentiles, the wise men, may have been familiar with prophecies found in Hebrew scriptures. While many Jews returned to Judea after the Babylonian captivity, others remained in the land that had become their home. The bottom line, however, is that we do not know who these men were or how they concluded that a particular star signaled the arrival of the King of the Jews. Since Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, the wise men assumed that the newborn king would be found there. Having arrived in Jerusalem, the Magi inquired, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" It is at this point that we learn of the star in the east they had seen. Since Numbers 24:17 says that there shall come a star out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, we may conclude that the Magi had some understanding of biblical prophecy. Verses 3 and 4. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. The wise men's initial inquiries would have been made to Herod's subordinates, who surely informed them that nothing was known of the newborn king. When word of all this reached Herod, he was troubled by the news. After all, he was the king of the Jews, or so he thought. Anyone claiming to be a new king was certainly a usurper of his throne. That the entire city was disturbed is understandable, considering the kind of man Herod was. This, of course, was the monarch known as Herod the Great, the progenitor of the Herodian dynasty that figures prominently in the history of the early church. Herod was unspeakably cruel. Among those he murdered were at least one wife, a brother-in-law, who was a high priest, and three of his sons. Typical of many people in power, he was paranoid about any potential rivals, in this case, a newborn baby. He was cruel, cunning, and cold-blooded. Other members of this infamous family were Herod Antipas, who had John the Baptist beheaded, Herod Agrippa I, who had James killed, and Herod Agrippa II, before whom Paul had impassioned defenses and gospel plea. Claiming to be Jewish, though actually an Edomite, Herod knew that the scriptures foretold a coming king, the Messiah. Yet his arrogance was such that he apparently thought he could somehow thwart the plan of God. He therefore called together the current Jewish religious leaders and demanded to know where the Messiah was to be born. That would be the first step in his plan to eliminate this potential rival. In verse 5 and 6, "And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." To their credit, the priests and scribes knew exactly where the Messiah was to be born. Not only was Christ going to sit on David's throne, but he would even be born in David's ancestral home, Bethlehem. Knowing that Israel's deliverer was going to be born in Bethlehem was not a matter of guesswork on their part either. This had actually been prophesied by Micah some 700 years previously. Matthew 2:6 uses the word governor in quoting the prophecy about the one to be born in Bethlehem. The term means ruler, as it is rendered in Micah 5:2. Matthew's use of the word rule means to feed or shepherd. Christ is indeed the great shepherd of the sheep, who would ultimately lay down his life for the sheep. The fact that Bethlehem was said to be by no means the least among the rulers of Judea meant that this small village would enjoy a prominence far beyond what would normally be expected. This is because the eternal Word of God began his earthly ministry. Sojourn in Bethlehem, The original prophecy of Micah 5:2 added the declaration that his origins have been from of old, from everlasting. Verses 7 and 8. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Once Herod had consorted with the religious leaders and knew that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, he summoned the wise men to ascertain additional details concerning the child they were seeking. He did this privately, that is, secretly. He did not want to arouse unnecessary panic among those who would welcome the Messiah, nor did he want to tip off those who might have known where Christ's child was and would certainly try to protect him. Apparently informed that the wise men had been led to the land of Israel by a special star, Herod sought more information concerning this astral phenomenon. This would perhaps give the evil king some clues concerning the age of the child. As Matthew 2:16 later states, Herod had all the boys in Bethlehem killed, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise man. This indicates that the star may have appeared some 2 years previously. It meant that Jesus was no longer a newborn. Rather than perform the search himself, Herod used the wise men as pawns to help him discover the whereabouts of the Christ child. That Jesus is referred to as a young child in verse 8 may also indicate that he was no longer a newborn, although the Greek word used here can refer to an infant. Crafty as he was, Herod convinced the wise men that his only concern in finding the newborn king was to pay homage to him. Herod would not be the first politician to deceive good and godly people for the purpose of advancing his own agenda. As Jesus said, the children of this world are in their generation wiser or shrewder than the children of the light. In verses 9 and 10, when they had heard the king, they departed, and the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young boy was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. After departing from the king's court, the wise men once again saw. This indicates that at some point it had ceased to shine or was otherwise unseen. This, of course, raises many questions concerning the nature of the star. For observers in ancient times who were used to looking at the night sky night after night, it would not be all that difficult to discern that a particular star, or it could be a planet, was actually moving and leading in a certain direction. In other terminology, ancients made no distinctions between stars, planets, asteroids, comets, or meteors. Any light in the sky might be described as a star. While there have been various explanations about the star, including a planetary conjunction or a comet, questions still remain. Perhaps Henry Hawley, which is a Christian writer, was correct when he said, and this is what I believe, the star that the wise men saw was, no doubt, a distinct phenomenon, a supernatural light which by a direct act of God went before them and pointed out the exact spot, a supernatural announcement of a supernatural birth. The nature of this special star was such that it stopped and remained in place above the location of the child, realizing that they had at long last actually found the one they were seeking. The wise men were overcome with joy over the star's reappearance. Verse 11 and 12. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Note that the Magi entered a house, not a stable. This too indicates that their arrival was sometime after the visit of the shepherds, who viewed the Christ child in a manger. Probably ushered into the home by Joseph, the wise men received their first glimpse of the young child with his mother Mary. As appropriate, the Magi bowed low in worship of the young king. Neither Joseph nor Mary was offered such homage, which would have been inappropriate then and also now. Not even angels are to be worshipped, as they are but God's messengers. Giving gifts has always been a sign of honor, even adoration. Knowing that they were traveling to visit the long-awaited king, the Magi brought gifts to honor the newly born Messiah. Since three gifts are mentioned, it is assumed that there were three wise men, but the text says nothing about their number. All we know is that there was more than one wise man. It is also possible that they traveled with a group of servants, but this is speculation. Under any circumstances, the gifts mentioned were costly. Gold, of course, has always been valuable, since kings were often among the most wealthy in any land. Gold would certainly be an appropriate gift. As it turned out, the flight of the young family to Egypt would have greatly benefited from this gift, probably financing their flight from Herod. Imported from Arabia, frankincense was another expensive gift, used in sacrifices and for perfume. It was likewise an appropriate gift for the newborn king, since Christ would later be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. The gift of frankincense anticipated the cross. Also imported from afar and expensive, myrrh, meaning bitter, which also was also given. Variously used, myrrh was one of the ingredients in the holy anointing oil of the priest. It was also used in embalming and was brought by Joseph and Nicodemus to the tomb of Christ. Moreover, myrrh was used as a painkiller and was offered to Jesus on the cross. He nevertheless refused to drink of the wine mingled with myrrh. Obviously, the gifts brought to Jesus were prophetically significant, anticipating what would occur during his earthly life. For added insight, note verses 2, 3, and 4 of John Henry Hopkins' story, The Christmas Carol. We three kings, the tradition that the Magi were kings has no factual backing, however. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Fully convinced that Herod posed no threat, the Magi would have eagerly returned to the king and informed him of the whereabouts of the young Jesus. This could have led to the sudden demise of the child and perhaps anyone else associated with him. From what we know of Herod, the lives of the wise men might have been in jeopardy too. That God communicated with the wise men via a dream is not unusual in the biblical record, for this occurred with some frequency. The dream was clear. They should not return to Herod, for his intentions were evil. Fearing that they might be followed by the king's soldiers, the Magi made the prudent decision to return to their homeland by a different route. Once Herod discovered that he had been outwitted by them, he was enraged. Not willing to tolerate any threat to his rule, he had all the young boys in and around Bethlehem murdered in cold blood. The young Jesus, however, was safe, having been taken to Egypt for refuge after a warning to Joseph in another dream. In closing, most of us have noticed that advertising for Christmas has come earlier and earlier. It was well before Thanksgiving this year. Some stores generate most of their income during the Christmas season, and if it weren't for this, they could not survive the rest of the year. Add to this all the frenzied activities that occur during December. By the time Christmas actually arrives, many people are physically and emotionally drained. Because of this, even devout believers may have a difficult time actually celebrating the birth of Christ in a meaningful manner. Countless millions celebrate Christmas but are clueless as to the real reason for the season. For true believers, this should be a time to once again reflect on the Messiah's arrival and his mission. We need to guard against becoming so caught up in other activities that we end up acting like the unredeemed. Brother Ray, you close us with a prayer. Amen. All right, this is the point of our service where we'll do our gifts for Jesus. Brother Chavis, you want to